This is going to be the glory. Glory. The glory. The glory of God. This is going to be the mercy. This will be the mercy. The mercy of God. And this will be the law. The law of God. All right. Did you get those three? Now, let's say you kept this one here. You kept the law. Well, then God's gloriously blessed by that. And by the way, Jesus did this. He kept the law. So, that was glorious. But he didn't need the mercy. Because he kept it perfectly. How many know there's a difference between you and Jesus? So, since he demands here perfection, be you holy. You be holy as I'm holy. Well, if you put the weight on me, it's very hard. If you put the pressure on me, that's not good news because me is not perfect. Me has never been perfect. Me doesn't know how to be perfect. Unless the Lord build the house, they that labor, labor in vain. So, this is the law of God. Don't forget this now, because this is simple and it's the basis of everything always. It's always the basis of everything. This is the mercy of God that if you mess up over here and you don't perfectly act all the time. In other words, you're not Jesus. You're not like Jesus. If you're not Christ-like in all your ways, spirit, soul, and body, well, then you need mercy. Otherwise, you will end up in the wrong place. So, this is the mercy of God here through the blood of Jesus Christ. But, I'm going to start all over again. I'm going to start all over again.
What was that verse again?
Which one?
The subject.
Of the subject? We haven't even got to it yet. This is just fun. I had to wait until Kurt got here. All right. Now, we're doing the book of Galatians this year, and you might wonder how I can preach for a whole year on just the first chapter. But I could. This book, this was Luther's favorite book. Y'all probably don't know that. I don't think anyone knows that. This is what made the modern world. In fact, some call this the Magna Carta of Christian liberty. The Magna Carta. In other words, this is the foundation of all the liberty that we have. There would be no liberty on earth, none. Under the medieval system or the ancient system. So the modern world was created because of liberty. And the recipient of the benefit was America. It wasn't Europe. Europe did not actually ever break out of bondage, and it's still to this day. It's still not for liberty. We designed our whole system of government based on the Bible and its values because of the people. And so we developed a government that wouldn't interrupt that. And our system of government in Texas is even better. I know you may not understand what I'm about to say, but it's more clear because they had another, several decades after 1776, they had many decades to think about this. Decade after decade. That's a good thing they've got there, but they didn't say it exactly right to protect from certain abuses. And so Texas, in its Bill of Rights, is more explicit about many things. I was at a political meeting yesterday, and I was talking to some of the Supreme Court justices, and I was asking them about that. And it was interesting. They agreed that the Texas Constitution is set up to borrow much of the American Constitution, but a lot more in spirit. But in letter, they wanted to make it express about the separation of powers, about various things, but particularly the liberties of the people and their religious liberty in particular. is more expressly protected, secured, than in the federal. The federal is very general, 16 words, that Congress shall make no law, etc. But in the Texas Constitution, it's spelled out. And in the, not only the Declaration, but particularly in the, because they just assumed the American Declaration, but they emphasized a few items that are not in the American Declaration. And in the Bill of Rights, it's much more express, instead of just 10 or the original 10 or 12 or whatever there was, 13 actually. They went to a lot of trouble to say something like, every man has a natural and indefeasible right to worship God according to the dictates of his own conscience, etc., etc., Article 1, 6. And if not, then the legislature was required to change the law. It was required. So it not only told you what you had, protecting it, but also told, bound their own government, the Texas government, from ever interfering with any of the provisions in the Bill of Rights. So where did we get all these ideas? We got them from the Bible. The Judeo-Christian traditions and heritage that we as a people have. And one of the justices yesterday said, real law is not exactly what's written down, but it's actually what the people have followed all those years. So it's called the common law tradition, where precedents are set over the years, not passed by a legislature, but actually are what the people themselves call right and wrong, true and false. And so many times you look at the letter of the law, it violates what the people are actually believing in. We see that now in our national government as well as our state government, that laws will be based upon other laws, case laws, and not upon the Constitution. They won't even reference the Constitution. In fact, opinions will be given without any reference at all to how this fits in with the Bill of Rights or how it passed muster before the Constitution and so on. And so I had a lot of fun talking to them. And there were several Supreme Court races that were on the docket. So I deliberately went and talked to a lot of those justices. Now, what I said is now not judicial, judicative. What I said is now theological, that it came from what Martin Luther did by reading the book of Galatians. And so he said, this is my Katie von Bora. This is my wife. Of all the books in the New Testament and Old Testament, this is my wife. In other words, this one expresses that Christian liberty better. Now, here's why. If you just go by law, whether it's religious law, political law, natural law, whatever, if you only go by law, law is never able to make people holy. Law can warn you. It can educate you a little bit as don't do that and do this, but it can't make you perfect. So the institution of law, the political system, is not perfect. It doesn't make perfect people. And so you can have perfect laws, but you won't have perfect people. So you could say be perfect, but that doesn't mean it's going to happen. How many know that people are a little different than the laws? So to conform people to a law, you can't beat them into it. You can't punch them into it. You can't scare them into it. Some people will break the law. I don't care how good the law is, they'll break it. Amen? And so God knows that. And that's why the Old Testament has this in the bottom of the box. In the Ark of the Covenant, this is down in the box. And he said, put these laws. Remember, these will be ideal laws that God revealed from heaven. Put these laws down in the bottom of the box. But if you put them in the bottom of the box, you're going to need mercy. Because nobody can do them. I mean, Moses could give the law, but he couldn't forgive you if you didn't do them. He had to have Aaron, his brother, the high priest. And so You had to run to Moses to find out what the law was, and then you had to run over to Aaron to get some help. Like, hey, I think I wasn't perfect in this one. And so it was better to get the equity of Aaron than the law of Moses. In fact, the law was so rough that you just had to get before God every day and say, I need another lamb, need another bull. I think today I'm going to need two or three bulls. I've really messed up today. And you had to run to Aaron then to get cleaned up. But thank God he mitigated the strictness of the law by the equity of the gospel through the priest. But still, that priest was not after the order of Melchizedek. So it wasn't quite the full deal. And so no priest could make anybody holy either. He could declare them holy, but he couldn't make them really holy. And they had all kinds of steps if you had leprosy or if you did this or you did that. So there's three things here. The law of God, which is be holy. Then the mercy of God, well, in case you're not, then get some mercy. And then in case you get the mercy, then the power and the glory of God should be satisfied. But you know what? God wasn't satisfied if you start out with the law, because nobody is perfect here. So if the Lord wanted to be right with man, he had to do it himself. He's the offended one that they're sinning against. But he, the offended one, provides the mercy through the lamb, through the bull, through the turtle dove, through whatever sacrifice is made. Man couldn't make a sacrifice that would please God, because he's God. He's holy, merciful, mighty, powerful. I mean, he's perfect. An imperfect man, then, can't do the impossible. Only God can do the impossible. So he provided, he said to Abraham, remember he said, this is before the law was given, God himself will provide the lamb. God himself will make the sacrifice that pleases God. Only God can please God. And did y'all understand that? Only God can satisfy God's wrath, his anger. Hey, you weren't perfect. You didn't love me with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. So nobody did it. So they had to have a lot of mercy, constantly running to the mercy, to the priest, trying to get some mercy. Okay, what do I need? You're going to need four bulls today, you know, and so on. So everybody was always trying to get some mercy so that God wouldn't be angry anymore. But nobody could bring enough offering that ever made God that his wrath would just go away. Because even the priest would sin. Everybody would sin. Even Moses sinned. Everybody sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So mercy itself doesn't help. It just forgives you for the sin, but you still have it. In other words, even if you had a new heart, which nobody did, but even if you had a new heart, that doesn't mean you have a new soul and a new body. And how many know that Christians have a new heart? Well, it doesn't help. Because even though they have a new heart through the mercy of God, they still need a new body and a new soul, and they need a new life. Create in me, David said, a clean heart. I need a new heart. I think this old heart is just going to keep sinning. So the sin in man is so deep that God can't be satisfied by anything that a man does. Unless the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain. Does this make sense? Now, I'm telling you the good news. I'm explaining something to you. That only God, it's up to God. No man can do anything to please God. Now, his wrath is still there then. Even though he can forgive you through the bull, that's just for a day or for a year or whatever. But you're still not perfect. What he wants, his design, his original design, is that everybody would serve God. Love God with all your heart, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. So if God wants it, let God provide it. Why? He's the only one that's perfect. So he has to send his own son into the world, not a lamb or a goat or a bull, but he has to send his own son into the world to die for your sins forever. Not just for a day or for a month or for a year or for a week, but permanently forever. So because of the blood of Jesus, this glory here, the glory of God up here, the Shekinah glory of God, the glorious power that he has, is never to destroy you but is always to help you. So here's how God does it. From God's point of view, it's God who's all glorious, all powerful, almighty, can do anything he wants, sends his Son into the world, and then the Son sends the Holy Spirit to you to change you from glory to glory until you're perfect. Well, I didn't even have anything to do with it. I didn't do it. He did it. God made himself the atonement, A, and atonement, B. In other words, he started by forgiving me the mercy, and then he added his power. Remember, he's got all this power and glory to glorify himself. He himself does it all as a free gift. I like gifts better than me doing it. I just like gifts better than me earning them. I just like getting paid for nothing. It's like being a pastor. You get paid, and you don't do that much. It's just 1 hour a week. David and I, we get paid for just, you know, just a few minutes, and that's it. You get paid. Wow. Yeah, right. Keep that up. That's good. That's good. All I'm trying to say is that's not really true. We do work. But it looks to me like this must be very important to God, that you don't labor and work. Come unto me, all ye that labor. God wanted you on this world with sinful people, with you having sin in you. He wanted you to have fun.
Amen.
He wanted you to enjoy yourself. He wanted you to have a full and abundant life. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Well, that's interesting. I would say most churches, though they believe what I just said, haven't figured out how to get that into their people. He actually wants you to do all of it by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's a gift. Jesus is a gift, but this Holy Spirit is a gift too, to change you and do everything. How many know you can't actually stop sins? How many know if you had a sin, let's say you were afraid. All right, fear, go away. It doesn't. Does anybody notice that? Or anger. All right, God, take away that anger. But it's still there. And then you get mad. All I'm trying to say is law doesn't perfect anybody. So the law in the box for the Old Testament, nobody kept it. It's a good thing it was in a box because they were just checking the law to see, you know, if it changed. Nope, it didn't evolve. We don't have a living document here. It's just the same thing that God carved into the stone, and it didn't change. So they kept it in the box so it was safe. And there was two tablets, one for God and one for the people of Israel, to check and see if both copies agreed. That way you could check them both. I know you don't understand that, but from a legal point of view, you have to have a standard, and then you have to protect that Constitution or that Bill of Rights or Declaration, and it deteriorates after a while. So you got to have one of them kind of preserved away. Even in Texas, you know, we don't have some of our original documents. They existed at some point, but, you know, they got lost because of, you know, all kinds of things that happened. And so you have to be sure that what you have is the real thing. So you have to make copies of the original. You have to make copies. And let's say there used to be patents for everybody. You lived on the land, and you applied for a patent, and you had to improve it. You only had so many years to do it, and so on and so forth. And then they sent you a patent and said, you now have the right not only to use the land, but you have the right in the soil. And they called you sovereign of the soil. In other words, you own the soil, the dirt, and therefore you get the right to use it because you own the soil. So the guy who owns the soil actually also has all the rights down to hell and all the way to heaven above. So you have all your mineral rights, all your water rights, all your everything. Well, you don't have that anymore. A warranty deed never passes reality. A warranty deed never passes reality. All it passes is an incorporeal hereditament. In other words, it's like a right to use. That's it. To tenant, to squat, to, you know, think you own it when you really don't. Because you are not the sovereign of the soil. So the only one that has the law of the land is the one who's the sovereign of the soil. It's the law of the land. If you don't own the land, not by a warranty deed, all you have is there is the right to use it. Most people don't know what I just said. Even lawyers don't know it. They don't even think about it. They don't even think about that. The most they go back on a title search is just, you know, 50 years, 75 years or something. But you have to, if you're the sovereign, you have to be able to go all the way back to 1843 or 1845 or 1847 or something, 1850 and so on. You have to be able to say, we were the first ones on the land and we owned it, and here's our patent, here's our survey, here's our, you know, notes by the surveyor, and here's all this stuff, abstract and so on. Now, that process all began biblically. It's all in the Bible, how you do something. Nothing has changed. It hasn't really changed. But the people today only know the surface. They don't really know where it all came from. But if you knew the Bible, you'd understand it. So where do we get our liberty? The book of Galatians is our charter for freedom, for liberty. And if you want to go to one book, this is what made the modern world, this book, the book of Galatians, that Martin Luther changed his life and studied. And he studied and he said, this is my favorite. This is my favorite of all the books. So, let's look at the book of Galatians. Turn to Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. We're just going to do 5 verses today. That'll take 1 or 2 hours. Because I'm going to teach you a lot. I want to teach you a lot.
Amen.
Because I do this night and day. I do this all the time. I say night because I even sleep and dream about this stuff. Because I love Jesus. And I'm not under the law. I'm under the gospel of Jesus, which is those two chairs. One, that he's merciful if I sin, which I do. But he's merciful to me, a sinner. There's no other religion like that. There's no other religion like that. If you're a Buddhist, you have to go, you know, the whole deal. You can't just do it any way you want to. If you're a Hindu, you have to go the eightfold way, you know, Buddha and Hinduism and all that stuff. And so you get a reward only if you're worthy. You don't get a reward for free. You don't, like in our religion, if you sin, you still can get a reward if you just believe in Jesus. That's an amazing religion. That is amazing. How can you misbehave and still get into heaven? Oh, it's easy. I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. You all see what I'm saying? I mean, that's like freebie. You know, you get a get out of jail free card. And so I can pass go and go on up. Now, what's beautiful about our religion, and this is where all our liberty comes from, is God doesn't want you. He desires not the death of any sinner. Nobody. Son of Sam, he doesn't desire his death. I don't care who you are. He doesn't want you to die. He's actually sent his son Jesus. God took the initiative. You didn't take it down here because you didn't keep the law. But he took the initiative to say, you know, I have a right to forgive any sinner at any time. And when I gave my law and wrote it on these tables of stone that can't be changed, when I gave my law, I knew no one would ever do it. No one would ever do it, except pastors. Pastor David and me. We're the only ones. But other than that, because you didn't get high enough in the eating thing, you know, where you're at the top of the thing, you didn't make it. But pastors get in. No. That's not true. Nobody makes it because it says all have sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So the glorious program that he first had out is that man would be perfect and he would be obedient to God. He would never rebel. He would never sin. And if he did sin, he'd quickly confess it and be past it and grow up. Amen? And so, as pastors, David and I are then here to give you the good news, tell you the good news. Is, hey, don't go by the law thing because you can't keep the law. Unless the Lord do it, you won't do it. So unless the Lord build the house, you're not going to build it. So you can't build yourself up. You cannot make yourself perfect. Nobody here is perfect. Now, I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm just simply saying nobody here is perfect. But Jesus is, and so he kept the law for you. And there's a law that says he can do that. In other words, we have laws that say that one person owes the debt, but another person can pay it. And so Jesus said, well, I want to do that. Father, send me down there and let me tell everybody I'll pay for all their sins. Well, wow, that'd be awesome. Buddha can't do that. Muhammad can't do that. All the other religions in the world can't do that. They gotta behave. We're the only ones that can misbehave and still go to heaven.
Amen.
Is that not good news?
Amazing.
That there's pardon with God. That God actually chooses himself for his own reasons to love sinners who have rebelled against him, broken his laws, have not loved him with all their heart and all their soul and all their strength, and they didn't love their neighbor as themselves. But yet, God said, I don't want them to go to hell, though. I don't want them to just perish. I want to save them anyway. Jesus, go down there and tell them I'm not mad anymore. I'm not angry anymore. My wrath is satisfied, and all you got to do is let them kill you. Tell them the good news, and they hate good news, so they'll kill you. How many know that men hate good news? I'm telling you, in this very room, there's probably two or three of you that are used to being miserable. And you're just used to it. And it's almost a Christian virtue for someone to look sober and like this, you know, kind of depressed. You a Christian? Yeah, I am a Christian. Because you're serious and you're not having any fun. How many know if you have fun, you're probably going to sin? Anybody who's having fun, you know that wasn't because of Jesus. That was something other than Jesus, right? And when you're really having fun, it's like it isn't always Jesus. So that's a sin. So we have a religion that's real because it fits real people who actually do sin. I don't know if you've noticed that about other people, but other people do sin. And sometimes they sin against you and you're offended. You're hurt by it. And you're not reconciled. You're not at one. But you, the offended one, could say, well, here, if you just do this, then I'll be satisfied. You know what? Doesn't work. Even though that sounds good in theory, in practice, it doesn't work. But God, who's the offended one, says, look, I don't want you to please me. I will do something that will touch your heart so deeply, because the law never touches your heart. I will do something that will move in my bowels, in my very bosom. I will do something. I'll send my own son whom I love, my only begotten son. I'm going to send him to earth to tell you that your warfare is over.
Amen.
The problem between us is gone. I have paid for everything myself. I don't want you to give up anything. I just forgive you all your sins, and now I'm going to prove it. Because if all your sins are forgiven, then we're in fellowship again. I'll send you my Holy Spirit. Then we'll walk together in truth and in glory and in power and in majesty. So that's the power of God here, the power of God through his Shekinah glory, which is above the Ark of the Covenant, because God dwells in the heavens above. So here on the high platform of God up in the heavens, he sends his son down to earth. We kill him because that's what law people do. The law always kills the gospel. The bad news kills the good news. You see, the law says be good, but it can't forgive you if you're not, and it can't help you to do it. There's nothing in the law that helps you when the policeman comes and said, you were speeding. You went over the limit, and you went 35 miles over the limit in a school zone or whatever. He of course, he has the discretion to let you go or not even stop you in the first place. But on the other hand, it isn't by law. It isn't by law. It's just some discretion that he has. As well, I see you're a pastor. I think I'll let you go. And so policemen do that. They don't have to write the ticket, but they want to stop crime. But how many know you can have all the laws in the world and crime still goes on? I don't care how much crime you're trying to eliminate, you're not going to ever eliminate it. You're never going to get rid of all the terrorists. You're never going to get rid of anything that man is not supposed to do. You can say smoking will kill you, people will still smoke. I don't care what you do, how much you educate people, you can show the little kids when they're in kindergarten, this is what happens to you, and you have a black lung or something like that. Oh, that's horrible. But when they grow up, they'll smoke. You say, why? Because there's just something in man that disobeys. There's something in there. It's called sin. So the sinfulness of man, it cannot ever do anything to please a loving Father up there who loves us, but he wants us to behave. And when we don't, he has to, you rebelled against him. You didn't do his law. He wants to then use his power to punish you. And God himself won't change that method. This method is fixed. But what he can do is he can say, look, I know you're not going to be able to get to me and please me, but I could get to you. And so instead of you climbing Jacob's ladder up to me in heaven, I will send my son down on earth, Christmas time, I will send my son down on earth to pay for all your sins. He'll grow up and he'll die for you. So he'll pay for everything and he'll tell you that. And if you believe that, you're free. If you don't, you're still a slave of sin. You're still addicted. You're still going to continue rebellion. Now, most people, because the churches have hid this truth. I mean, the churches have this good news that I'm telling you, but they've hidden it away. And even if they have grace written over the church, they will have laws that actually operate in that church. I see we were a little short, the minister says, on attendance this week. You remember our goal was 354. We only have 218 here, you know, and so I want you all to work on this. And even though they believe in grace, they actually operate by law. And it's inevitable. So if you don't get this grace thing down, that grace is nothing to do with law. It's the opposite. If you're in Christ, you're in grace. Because Christ came not to end this whole thing. He didn't want you to keep going under, you know, this law thing where you're trying to do everything to please God. You can't. Because you're not perfect. He wants you to be perfect. Be holy as I'm holy, be perfect as I'm perfect, and so on. You can't do it. So, he did that deliberately so everybody get the point. This is your first lesson in life. I can't. That's your first lesson. I just can't do it. Get your bed made or you're not going out to play. I can't. Mom, could you do it for me? You see, when the first lesson is, it's too hard. What you're asking me to do is clean my toys up. I don't know how to. You know, and so on. Little kids learn right away. I just can't keep the laws. I can't keep the rules. My little grandson is 3 now. But he said, last time we were there, he said, the older, so he's got 8 older brothers and sisters. They said to him, "You stop whining like that." I'm trying my best to stop whining, but I still am whining. And it's just a little kid. He's oppressed by his brothers and sisters. It's just a cute little kid. And he's trying. I'm trying so hard. And he is. He's real sincere like that. And he's just a cute little kid. I got a picture of him. I'll show you. He's cute. But he couldn't keep the law. He just couldn't keep it. Here's his picture. You see how cute he is?
Aww.
Yeah. Just a little fellow there. You know, but how can you be mad at a little kid like that? And it sounded like he was doing his best. I mean, no, man at his best state's altogether vanity. Man at his best state. I mean, at his best state, when people are going to church and they're Christian and they're moral and they're nice and they're friendly and they're people pleasers and so on. God hates that. He hates man doing anything. Anything that man does is imperfect, so it's not acceptable to God. But here's the deal. That's only God speaking through the law, through Moses. But God who speaks through Jesus speaks mercifully, graciously. He's totally on your side. If God be for you, who then can be against you? So here's God sitting on his throne up in heaven above. So here's the glory of God, the power of God, the majesty of God. Through the mercy of God, this is the hilasterion in Greek. It means the cover of the ark, where God has his throne above the cover of the ark. The cover of the ark is mercy, which is on top of the law. So since you can't keep the law, won't keep the law, haven't kept the law, God can be merciful to you. So you can appeal to Aaron. Only in our case, Jesus is our high priest. And so the same one that not only forgives you your sin, can also give you the Holy Spirit. The power of Almighty God. He can take the power of God, the glory of God, instead of it being against you because you sinned, it can actually be for you because he uses the holiness of God through the mercy of God to the power of God so that it's always on your side, never against you. If God be for you, who can be against you? All of God's laws are actually for you. Not one of those laws was written against you, even though it looks like, by the letter of the law, it looks like you're supposed to behave. He actually meant Jesus Christ would behave for you, then he would be your representative, so he would do it in you and then work through you so you'd get all the benefit. not in heaven. Now, here. You can be happy today. You can be happy because you don't know anything. David and I spent yesterday morning together, and we love to go over old ordinances. And we found some other things, too. We're kind of having fun. Isn't that kind of cool? Do you think God loves us? Is God on our side? If God be for you, who can be against you? I mean, if God is really for you and he wants you to be blessed all the time, how many here are blessed all the time?
Amen.
You're always blessed. I mean, it couldn't be any better. And the best is, you haven't even seen the best yet. It's even more. Dying on the cross was good. That was a good start. And then giving us the Holy Spirit, that was good. And now, he's perfecting us, and the marriage supper of the Lamb is about to come. We're going to marry God, and then pretty soon we're going to inherit everything he's got up in heaven and earth. How many know he owns the whole thing? He created the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof and all that kind of stuff. Well, I believe all those things, and all you have to do is believe it, because you can't do any good work to get it. You can't earn it. You just have to believe it. Wow, you mean I don't have to keep the law? Well, you didn't, did you? Well, no. Well, did you make a big effort? No, not really. Well, you can get in anyway. Wow. Not only did I not keep the law, I didn't even try. I was rebellious deliberately, consciously, and knowingly, and I loved rebelling. I loved doing it. Even though I knew the law, what it said, I didn't want to do it. Is anybody else like me? Mm-hmm. One, two, three, four. Okay, five, six. Now, here's the deal. God doesn't want you to keep a law. Never wanted anyone in the whole world to keep a law. He always wanted to keep it for you. So he sent Jesus to keep it for you, then to do it in you, then to do it through you, and then you get all the glory. I mean, God gets all the glory for it, but he is glorious. So he doesn't need glory, so he gives it to me. I mean, it's powerful. So what originally was intended by God when he created the world was not that you would work for it, that you would voluntarily love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and your neighbor as yourself. You just do it voluntarily. Well, nobody did it that way. So nobody did it. So everybody was, you know, guilty. But here's what the Bible says, Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation. Well, then I'm not guilty. I can't sin if there's no law. If there's not a law that I broke, then I didn't sin against a law that isn't there. Because there's no law. There's no standard. If the standard is Jesus and he's my Savior, then it doesn't matter what the law says because I'm not under a law. I'm in Christ. And if I'm in Christ, then all the glory of God is pleased with me and happy with me. How many know it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom? Give you. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the one I'm giving you. And, I'll give you everything else too. Wow. Wow. Wouldn't that be great if that was true? Well, it's true. So, I want to read now of a charter of our Magna Carta charter here. I want you to read in Galatians. Paul, an apostle. Is everybody following me so far? Paul, an apostle. I read this over and over in the Greek. I read it, you know, all last night and so on and so forth. Got up early and read it again. Paul is his name, but here's the thing. Somebody named him. But God changed his name. It used to be Saul, Hebrew. But then he changed his name and he became a believer in Christ. He named him Paul. So Paul in Greek has a different meaning than Saul. So Saul, remember King Saul? He was the tall guy and, you know, big on the law and stuff like that. But he messed up all the time. Remember the Witch of Endor and all that stuff? Saul never did it quite right. But he had the power, but he was corrupt. How many know that most power corrupts? And a lot of pastors corrupt. A lot of pastors are greedy, they're lustful, they're egocentric and so on and so forth. I'm humble and nice and, you know, but, you know, I'm sorry about those other guys. But, you know what? I like Jesus. The whole thing for me is Jesus. Everything is Jesus. I don't even have a life apart from Jesus. I was never good at this one here, behaving. Peggy can tell you that. She could say amen.
Amen.
Yeah. So, Peggy got a bad deal there. She got a real bad deal. But it serves her right because she picked me. You know, it serves her right. She should have said no. So I fooled her. I just fooled her, tricked her into doing it. It's a good deal for me. I'm totally happy. Peggy was like, sometimes I just hate you. Isn't that amazing? Do y'all see that? You don't think that's funny? Don't you think it's funny when somebody says that? Because at least they're not lying. They're telling you the whole truth right there. I hate you. And I said, why do you hate me? Because you're happy all the time because of Jesus. Oh, yeah. That's cool. That's true. I am. You should go to hell, but if people knew everything you did, they wouldn't like you and so on and so forth. Okay, well, I'll just tell them. You know what? Jesus likes me. Did you know Jesus loves me? This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Amen. Do you know that's all you got going for you? Amen. You don't have any law that you've ever kept. There's nobody any good. Did you know that no one is good? Not one. Not even one. Only God is good. So nobody can do what God wants because nobody's God. Only God can do what God wants. So God has done exactly what he wants. This is his bowels. This is down in his gut. This is down here deep, not the heart. What the Bible calls heart is here, your bowels of mercy. His bowels are always merciful. So he, through his bowels, this is his glory, this is his majesty, not that he causes you to do something, but that he himself does something for you. He doesn't want anything from you. How many know God has everything? He can do anything. He doesn't need anything. You don't have to satisfy him. All other religions, you have to do something. This religion, he doesn't want you to do anything. He just wants to give you something. How many know that God, like the husband, wants to take care of his wife, like I do? I want Peggy to have everything. I want her to have all the joy and don't pay any of your debts and give them everything to me. All the problems and troubles and so on and so forth. Waste me, use me, abuse me. I don't care. I deserve every bit of it. But, you know, I like doing it. So I want her just to be herself. I don't want her to clean up. I don't want her to say nice things. I don't want that. And I'm happy all the time. Why? Because she can't do anything that would displease me. There's nothing she can do to displease me. Did y'all hear that? Now, if she ever told you some of the things I did, she'd lose her bread and butter. So, I'm sure she wants to, but she hasn't done it yet. Peg, you're not going to get up and preach, are you? So, I'm totally happy. Why? Because I think Jesus wanted everybody here to be happy all the time. 24/7. Are you happy all the time?
Amen.
By faith? Yep. I'll say it by faith because I think some of you are thinking that's behavior. No, you don't have to feel it. You just are happy. You don't have to understand it. You just are happy. You don't have to want it. You just are happy. Why? Because Jesus said so.
Amen.
If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. This one is part of the old creation. Here you have to behave. But in the new creation, Jesus has to keep his promise. In the new creation, you don't have to behave. Jesus has to keep his promise, not only to forgive you, but then to give you. He forgives any debt you owe, and then he gives his Holy Spirit so that now you have the same Spirit of God. You have God's Holy Spirit, the Son's Holy Spirit, inside of you, changing you from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. Beholding him, we are changed. He doesn't change, we change. God didn't change his holy nature by being merciful. He saved this, reserved this, when he gave the law to Moses. He said, by the way, Moses, when you write this down, remember, I reserve the right to forgive anybody who sins against me. And if there is anybody in Israel that sins against me, I reserve the right. As a matter of fact, I reserve the right to forgive any sinner anywhere. I just wanted to put that little exception in the law. That no matter what, for example, in Texas, every law is for you and me. For our benefit. For our advantage. For our safety. For our happiness. And the same thing in the American system. If you read the Founding Fathers like I've done, and you read all their letters and their writings and all the things that they did and every biography and autobiography and so on, Jefferson, Franklin, you know, Madison, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, they all say the same thing. This government will be of the people, for the people, by the people. In other words, it'll be a people thing, not a king or a, you know, some kind of a parliament or some high muckety mucks over the people. Because Jesus said this scripture, You know that the kings of this world lorded over them. They use their power to put them down. But it shall not be so among you, he's talking to his church. It shall not be so among you. And so the people that drew up our documents had been to church. They had read the Bible. And all of the founders knew the Bible. All of them. Every one of them. Jefferson too. All of them. And he deliberately didn't go the way of the French Revolution, which is man can stand alone without God. He said, no, no. We have all of our rights from God, not man. And that's what Paul is saying right here. I am an apostle, not by men, nor through men, but through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. And God the Father. And the brethren who are with me. And then he says, this is the group that's sending you this letter. To you. You churches, plural, in Galatia. So he's writing here, the first five verses, he's writing here, from to, just like your email, just like anything you send to somebody, you have a from, who this is from, and then to, this is who it's to. So, to all the churches of Asia Minor is like Turkey today. I mean, it's the same area. And so it's just something that sticks out into the Mediterranean like that. Asia Minor is where John, the gospel writer, that's where he was in prison in the, you know, little Isle of Patmos and so on. But he had seven churches there. Well, that's still part of Asia Minor. That's part of Turkey today. It, just below, a couple hundred miles below Istanbul, Constantinople. Okay, so in that part of the world, Paul is saying to all those churches that he visits, because John is dead. John died. John is no longer alive. Okay? So he writes to these people. No, I was wrong about that. John actually outlived everybody, even Paul. Paul died under Nero, probably. And so Paul is writing a letter to all these churches that he visits. And John's still alive. He's still going. All the others, we don't know all their ages exactly or how long they lived, but we do know John outlived them all. So John was the last of the apostles, and that's his area right there. And Paul's visiting not John's churches, but he's visiting other churches. But Ephesus, later, he writes a book to the Ephesians. That's where John is. John, that's one of John's churches. So here, in this letter to the Galatians, Galatia in the Greek, that could be southern France, but it's not. It also can be Turkey, which it is. So they could use this word in different ways, Gaul, southern France, in this case, Galatia. Now, Paul an apostle, not of men, neither by man. In other words, Paul is not an apostle because of human institutions or, you know, church corporations. Nothing by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. In other words, the only one that can call David into the ministry is not me, us, as a church. You can't call David into the ministry. You can acknowledge that God has called him, or you can acknowledge that God has called me, but you can't make us apostles or pastors or prophets or evangelists or anything. That has to be done by God. And so he says, I am declaring to you that this letter is being written by me because I have the authority from Jesus Christ, the Savior, that's that middle chair, the merciful chair. And not only that, do I have his authority to be merciful, I also have the power of God, the glorious God up there, who's holy and wrote this holy law. And I'm telling you right now, good news. There's two kinds of righteousness. One, this one, where you do it. The other, that one, where God does it for you. Which is better? When the mother makes the bed or when the child makes the bed? Two-year-old. You know, if you want to go outside and play, you have to make your bed. So on and so forth. It's too hard for that little kid. They never get out and play. So God makes your bed for you, and it's perfect. Got hospital corners and everything. It's great. It's all smoothed out and so on. The little kid doesn't know how to do that. He just kind of wave his hand, but he doesn't know how to make that like that. That is cool. And it always looks so nice when people do those hospital bed things, right? Well, let the parent do it. It's a lot smarter, and little kids figure that out right away. Mom, could you do it for me? could you forgive me for not doing a very good job on it? And then could you do it so I could learn from you, see how it's done? And sometimes parents then keep doing for children until they're already 47 or 8. I don't know if you've noticed that. There are some people that are still children at 87 or 92. They're still acting like babies, right? Yes. So age has nothing to do with growing up. Obviously, being mature is not just age chronology. It's also that you have to mature. Some kids are mature at a very young age. Some kids are mature because they've learned how to obey in such a way because of Jesus often. Peggy was listening to a lady yesterday, and she has a little child. She was beaten a lot and so on and so forth. She didn't do anything. It's just the father was a gambler, and when he'd lose his money, he'd come home and beat her. And so she kind of grew up scared and so on. And she asked her mother, what do I do? Because every time daddy loses money, she's just a little kid. What do I do? She says, oh, pray to Jesus.
She was five.
Oh, she was five. Okay. Peggy's always more accurate than I am, but I got the story down. So the little girl who's five starts praying to Jesus, and today she's, you know, a marvelous Christian, married to a pastor, and we just happen to run into each other, and so on. So it's great. I'm sure we're going to see him again. So that girl, instead of being abused and beaten, and he still did afterward, but she got close to Jesus, and she's been going to church ever since, married a minister, and the whole thing is cool. So God is working in your life personally. And when you get a hold of Jesus, he hears you. He listens to you because he has no other ear for anything else except your phone call, your email, your Facebook. He doesn't want anything else but to contact you on a daily basis. How many know if it was up to you, you might not contact him all the time? Sometimes you just get mad at somebody without asking Jesus if it's all right. You ever done that? You've just criticized somebody, and you didn't say, Jesus, can I criticize that person? You forgot to say that. And so you have to ask permission. Jesus, look what my wife just did. It's very, very bad. Can I hit her? No. Oh, phew. What do I have to do? Go and hug her. I don't want to hug her. She needs a lesson learned. You know, no. Jim, how did I treat you? Well, yeah, you were nice to me. Okay, well, I want you to be like I was to you. You be that way to her. You didn't deserve it. I forgave you. She didn't deserve it. You give it to her. Just go, Peg, you're the best. So that's what I do. Peggy can tell you that's what I do. When she does something that I don't like, I just say, okay, Peggy, you're the best. You know, because why? Because that's the way God wants it. How many know that that's not hard? How many know that that is not hard? It is not hard. The only thing you have to do is die. That's all. As long as you're dead. In other words, you don't have a life of your own, you don't have a will of your own, you don't have a thought of your own, you don't have emotions of your own. You have them, but you just ignore them and say, no, no, you're lying. Jesus said, this is who I am. I'm a lover. New creation. If anybody be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. Right? So, watch this. I'm going to leave in a few minutes. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. What is grace? First of all, it's mercy. That middle chair right there. First of all, it's this hilasterion. It's this mercy seat that stands over the law down here next to me. But that grace is two things. It forgives you and then it helps you. Two things. The Holy Spirit's our helper. It forgives you, and then it helps you to do the right thing. Remember, the mother forgives the child for not making the bed right, and then helps the child to put the toys in the box. So, the mother does both things for the child. Forgives, that was free, and then helps, that was free. No law. No law. Wow. It's good when there's a law on you, a burden on you, a debt on you, and someone else pays it. Someone else takes care of it. Someone else says, no, you don't know a thing. I've got everything. I've got Jesus. How many know that when you have Jesus, you have everything? Yes. You may not use it, but you've got it. And so I do. I pray all the time. Lord, Deliver us from the enemy. I think you have the power. I don't think I have the power. You see how I put no weight on myself? I put all the weight on God. First of all, God forgives me for my sin, which is, you know, I had plenty. And so, but he forgives that. And then, he also, even though I'm a jerk and bad guy and so on and so forth, and now I'm forgiven, he also then helps me through the power of the Holy Spirit and answers those prayers. I mean, I walk around the house and I just say stuff like that. God, look what the bad guy's doing. Get him. You know, stop him. Slow him down. And then I pray for him and bless him. Why? He's not my enemy. I don't have any enemies. I mean, they may not like me, but I like them. I like people that don't like me. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
I like people that don't like me. I like people who abuse me. I like people that do that. Yeah, that was smart and clever of them. Yeah, you just used me. I know what you did was wrong, but I'm not going to count it because God never counted mine. Do y'all see that? Uh-huh. So when people do wrong, you pay. When people do wrong, pay. Because if God wants his way, I'll bet he'll get it.
Amen.
I just bet God will get his way. Right? You know, it's better to win a war, a battle, after you've won the war. The Japanese, after World War II, they didn't even know it was over, and they kept fighting battles. But they didn't know that they'd already lost. And so somebody had to come and tell them, by the way, guys, you lost. Your emperor already said, so you want to be in trouble with your emperor? Get going. So they had to obey. Same thing in Germany. People still, you know, we're still fighting somewhere in the hinterlands. Okay, Jesus Christ publicly won a battle for you on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago, and you're set free forever.
Amen.
Forever. Amen. And then after this, you go to heaven. I mean, it just gets better and better. Yes. I love that. So we're looking forward to 1,000 years of ruling and reigning on earth. And then, wouldn't it be good to learn what it is to be a ruler? Because some of you are going to get, you know, Togo or China. How many want Togo? Well, Togo's a nice little land. But you know what? You should rule over what God has given you and prove that you're faithful in small things. If he can trust you in small things, he can trust you in big things. It's all in the Bible. So I hope you enjoyed this. Amen. This Jesus Christ came and forgave all of our sins. It says right there in verse 4, who gave himself for our sins, that he, God, might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Good news.
Amen.
That's a difficult sermon that I just preached, but it's powerful because it's your freedom. That you are definitely free from sin. You're definitely free from the curse of the law. You're definitely free from God's wrath. You're definitely free spiritually, but you are also free in every way. You may not know that. But that's what gave birth to the Reformation. That's what gave birth, and that's why Luther said, this is the Magna Carta of Christian liberty. That's why Luther said, this is my Katie von Bora, his wife. She was a former nun that he married, because he said, well, I have all these nuns to give away who are, you know, they weren't married, and he married them all off, and the last one there, he said, well, what about you? What am I going to do with you? You're going to marry me. He said, I'm not going to marry you. I can't. I have a whole reformation to do. I am going to marry you, and you are going to marry me. And so she was vehement about that, and he married her. So there it was. He said, now that's a woman. He called her rib. He said, that you're my rib. You're the rib who's controlling me totally. And he loved her. So it's powerful. And she, von Bora, I mean, she was one of the noble class that went into the convent. But when he got this Reformation going, he realized we're not under the laws anymore of Rome. We're not under anybody's laws. Let's just go back to the Bible, see what it says. And so it didn't forbid ministers of the gospel to be married. And that's what changed the world right there. That was a big change. So let's look to God to do what he wants. If God wants us to be pure, let him purify us. If God wants to forgive us, and that chair right there, okay, so there's the mercy of God. What about the power of God? The power of God, through the mercy, will always show us how not that we have to be holy for Him, but how He will make us holy for Himself. Did you see that?
Amen.
God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. He didn't say, you have to reconcile to me. He said, I, who am the offended one, I don't want to be offended anymore because in my heart I'm not. In my heart I've only wanted one thing. Your safety, your happiness, your pleasure on earth as it is in heaven. Wow. So what God requires, He supplies. What God requires, He supplies. That's a good word for you.
Amen.
God doesn't want you to do it. He wants to do it for you, in you, through you. Let God be glorified. Let God be glorified. Don't work so hard to be good. God is good. He's the only one that's good. You will never be good. Just accept that fact. But God is so good that His goodness is even good for you. That's a good parent. That's a good friend. That's someone who is, God is a friend of Moses. He's a friend. Did you know Moses got into the promised land? Even though he sinned. The lawgiver broke the law himself. But he got in. And he got in. And on the Mount of Transfiguration, when there was Elijah and Moses there, and Jesus, Peter and James and John, they were up there with him. And they saw it. Wow, that's Moses. He looks old. How many know he has a long beard? And he's really old. But he said, let's build a booth for Moses and Elijah. That'll be the law and the prophets. And then one for Jesus, too. They're all good people. And all of a sudden, the two guys were gone, and there was only Jesus. And all he could see was Jesus. Jesus didn't want them to worship Moses, the law. He has the gospel now. Now there is no law for us. The law's gone. That's liberty. Now you are free because He hath made you free. You've been manumitted. All's been paid for. He not only forgave you, took off your chains, gave you a piece of paper that said you're forever emancipated, proclaimed that to the world. No one else can make you a slave. And now I'm going to give you extra money for your trip until you get established on your own because you've been a slave so long you don't know how to make a good living. I'll pay for all of that. That's a good master. Pharaoh did that. Pharaoh had no intention of ever forgiving them or letting them go. But he ended up not only forgiving them and letting them go, but paying them. They got all the gold and silver. They got everything, and they paid for their whole way. Wandered 40 years, full pay. Because they had gotten all that, borrowed it from the other group there. And so God supplies all your needs according to His riches and glory. Every day, every minute of every second, you are rich beyond measure. Do you know that?
Amen.
Do you know that?
Yes.
You are happy right now. Don't feel happy. You are happy.
Yes.
Say it. I'm happy.
I am happy.
Tell the person next to him, I'm happy to be next to you.
I'm happy and happy to be next to you.
Amen. Because we're blessed. David.
Next to you.
Huh? Yeah, I'm happy to be next to you, David. Amen. Praise God.